cue that intro music. Happy Fix Tuesday, everyone. April 9th. We made it to April. You know, the eclipse was nice. Always good to not burn my retinas with cheap knockoff eclipse glasses. So that is always a solid win. Thanks for tuning in. We got a full house today here at Onimox, and we appreciate you, your continued support. You know, we've kind of crossed 5,000 downloads here at Onimox, which is pretty cool for us.
Heck yeah.
Being that we're just mostly rambling about security stuff between all of us. So, yeah, you know, Tom Boyer here, and I'm the director of security at Onimox. And today I'm joined by Cody, Seth, and Henry. They're all on the security team. Y'all want to just give some quick introductions?
Sure. I'm Cody. I'm a team lead of security engineering.
I'm Henry, application security engineer.
And Seth Hoyt, a security engineer.
Awesome. Thank you all for joining. So, you know, there's some real spicy meatballs and you know, this kind of Patch Tuesday. And really, this April has been real spicy. It has been a spicy month already. As many of us know, you know, we'll probably talk about the XYZ stuff later on in the show. But yeah, even the macOS stuff that came out earlier this or last month has been, it's still like, it continues on that trend of like, hey, if you process an image in macOS, like prepare for an RCE, which in my mind is just absolute insanity. But right, it's memory safety, maybe one day. Moving on, you know, this secure boot one, I feel like it impacts literally everything in Windows land, right? Like, I think every major version is listed in the patch notes. So it's that's another spicy meatball. And Cody, I'm just curious what your thoughts are on this one.
Oh, we're never going to get rid of these, apparently. We have like a good 30 of them right now, right? Just this year. So. And we're just never going to get rid of this vulnerability, but it's something that's just causing headaches everywhere.
Yeah. Every time I think about like these type of attacks, I think about, you know, the joke, the running joke always was back, you know, 10, 15 years ago, at least a lot of the places I worked at, we would have like a screwdriver. And on the screwdriver, it was labeled like antivirus bypass, right? Because if you had access to the system, you could like open it up and, you know, before encryption and secure boot and those protections were kind of in place in the enterprise, right? You could still grab the hard drive and go about your business, right? And this, you know, I feel like it opens up and reminds me to kind of back to that time, right? Where those protections were just kind of whatever, and a screwdriver will get you what you need.
Yeah, I'm just waiting to see like some sort of UEFI malware that's just taking advantage of all of them this year.
Yeah, true. I don't think I've read much about any of those low-level attacks. I feel like the CPU, the side channel attacks really like exploded, and you know, prior to that, there hasn't been much, you know, for those hardware attacks, or like those low level firmware attacks. I haven't seen much, but I guess much like academically, there's been a lot of stuff. I think we talked about the hard drive one that we were looking at the other day, where using a specifically designed microphone, you could listen to the platters, right? Like, I feel like it's such a, those type of attacks are just so like obtuse, right? They don't really make it to the enterprise communication, you know.
There's that one fridge, that for sure. yeah, there was last year, there was some sort of UEFI malware, and it was using a secure boot bypass to get onto the preload system, and then it would infect all USBs for transmission later. I forget what that was. yeah, I'd have to go look at it again, but or Black Lotus. Yeah, it was Black Lotus that was doing it.
I don't know if you remember that or not. No, I don't. Yeah. I will have to look that up again, because that sounds like another one of those, like, you know, I'm in the data center.
Right.
I need continued access. I got my microphone set up on the outside of my van, you know, like James Bond stuff going on.
For real?
Yeah.
There's always the CIA lasers, right? That's the testing. That was a big one.
Yeah. And I remember one from like 5 or 6 years ago where they could, you know, you could implant malware into the, you would implant malware. It would cause the, like, the hard drive light to flash.
And they
flew a drone up to the side of the window, and they were able to do data exfil over like a blinking LED in a data center.
What?
And
I'm
like,
yeah. Oh my God.
That was a cool one. Yeah.
Wow.
A lot of it's academic, right? Like, how, you know,
well, they have these that we systems, see, right?
Right. All the academic stuff we see, you know.
Oh my God.
Well, what's that company? There was a company that took over the ice boxes or whatever. I forget what the name of them, but they used to have those rooms that you'd have to go in to read confidential documents in government. And for like spies and stuff.
Oh, like with no windows or anything like that?
Yeah. And there's a company that just started a new series of like WeWorks for spies.
Right.
Yeah. And they have a bunch of these anti-vibration, like this, all this tech around it to make sure that like light doesn't get out. You know, they've got like neutral, like it's like built into the building, I guess. There's neutral density filters so you can't see anything come out. Like they're trying to block all sorts of like wavelengths and everything and sound.
That Faraday,
it's crazy amount of engineering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just stuff you don't think about, right?
Yeah.
You're deep in it now. You're deep in the water, right? Like that is some deep cut freaking spy stuff going on. moving on from Windows, you know, there was a, you know, Mac OS came out with 14.4.1 for Sonoma, and I think a couple others were listed in their patch notes, right? But still, the continued, like, right, memory safety issues. You know, CVE 2024-1580 coming out of Google's Project Zero, which is processing. I feel like I read this every time we do this. Processing an image may lead to arbitrary code execution, which, you know, I don't know how many times we have to talk about Rust internally, but right, like, I don't know if Rust is the answer here or memory safety is the answer here. Maybe, you know, the Biden administration needs to write another memo about like memory safety. But man, I feel like Mac is just like the last 10 or 15 updates, this exact thing. And, you know, like WebRTC or some other mechanism in here, there's like, if you process an image, you're going to get an RCE, and it's like operation like, triangulation all over again, you know?
Yeah, so many of these are like, oh, you can input some big arbitrary video and then it just overflows and then you're running. Yeah, it's weird.
We just trust user input way too much in our software, and it's just,
It's weird too, because it's constantly like always around media with Mac, right? And it's just like there's so many of these edge cases lying around everywhere.
Yeah, no, it is very media focused, right? Which is, it's really quite interesting, because like I said before on the show many a times, I feel like the research into Mac and how it's doing a lot of how it's handling a lot of things, media, networking, like I feel like it's just been heavily researched the last 2 or 3 years. And
at the same time, not like, you know, if you look around at the industry, a lot of people, I was reading a Reddit post yesterday, actually, where somebody asked about macOS pen testing and, you know, how is that for a career? And the overwhelming response seemed to be either nobody does it or a couple of people arguing that Mac is hardened right out the gate and you don't have to do anything. And I was just like,
love that argument.
Yeah. So are we still definitely needs more pen testing love.
Yeah. Like, are we still living in that commercial, you know, the Mac versus Windows commercial from the late 90s, was it, or the early 2000s? You know, it's like, we don't get viruses.
Yeah. I also think it's kind of ironic, you know. Well, first of all, Project Zero just never ceases to amaze me. Like, the folks that participate in that competition, just insanely intelligent. But I also think it's kind of ironic that a Google-sponsored event is finding vulnerabilities and someone you consider a competitor of them. That's always fun.
I mean, it's just like, they're probably all thinking the same thing, you know. Mac's got some weird media stuff going on here. Let me just keep digging in and seeing what I can find. It's just, it has a lot of rings to the Image Magic stuff from
a few years ago,
right? Remember where it's everyone was worried about Image Magic, and if you uploaded an image, there was Insta RCE type, all those amazing attack vectors in Image Magic, right? And it's kind of par for the course, because I feel like everyone trusts images, right? Like, what can you really do with an image? And turns out, you know, you could probably overflow and do some kind of arbitrary code execution. And I think we talked about it last episode, but, you know, we were discussing, like, some of these subsystems probably really haven't been touched very much in the last 10, 15, 20 years. They've just kind of been maintained and, you know, pushed along and left to,
you know, give it to the guy that knows C in the back corner, right? While we're over here, right?
You know, the new cool stuff. So
definitely need more people looking at Mac. In fact, ThoughtCon last year, we had a lot of really good talks, like around Gatekeeper and everything. So we see a lot of research in the community, but yet it's like pales in comparison, because everybody thinks Linux and Windows for enterprise, right?
Right.
But as Mac starts to get more market share, it's gonna quickly start to hurt us.
Yeah, like Windows runs the users and Linux runs the servers, right? But I can see why lots of research is kind of pointed in those directions, because it's so impactful. Especially like the core of the internet, you know, it really runs on Linux. So
fun day, we'll have all those Mac servers.
I know, right? Anyway,
racks of Mac minis,
racks and racks of Mac minis, you know.
Yeah, I worked somewhere that we had that. So
when you said Image Magic, I feel like I see that in like every other CTF.
Isn't it, right? That's such a common thing, is the Image Magic stuff, right? It's like...
Yeah.
Speaking of Linux, man, it's been a spicy couple weeks for open source and in the Linux community with XZ outbreak, whatever we're calling it, CVE 2024-3094. I'm sure everyone that's listening's heard about it, but essentially what's happened is XZ, which is kind of a collection of open source utilities, was basically backdoored. And, you know, the developers of the package, right? Like, and, you know, Cody, I'm really curious your take on this, but, you know, in my mind, it's like open source, you know, everyone's thoughts on it have always been the more eyes, the better, right? But truly, in this case, that's one or two developers. They're tired. They're probably working full time. They don't want to maintain it. You know, initially enjoyed doing it, and now they don't because it's underfunded. No one wants to contribute, and they have a whole bunch of bugs to deal with. So someone comes along a couple, you know, 2-3 years and starts making changes to it, makes performance improvements, and, you know, you start to kind of relinquish control to them. And, you know, in this case, it turns out that was a really horrible mistake.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, just building up that rapport over time. And, you know, we see it in a few, like we found a few other ones that are currently being analyzed too. So this may be spread out more than just XZ, but, and not necessarily by the same Zha or Zha Tan actor, but, yeah, no, it was very interesting that they did this very long, slow play of actively contributing and then slowly putting in backdoors and giving interesting justifications for a lot of these, right? Like, right. Especially one of the other ones that's under analysis is LibArchive, and this was actually by Zha Tan, where they moved to an insecure version of printf, I think was what it was, and it allows for arbitrary control sequences to be ran. So when they're, you know, when they're unzipping an archive, you can now potentially embed control sequences and have that run in the terminal. But at the same time, it was also interesting to see that right as everything got pushed in, you know, so they finally got a working exploit or this working backdoor in the code. It was interesting that for all of the carefulness that they did, they suddenly went to creating a lot of these fake accounts everywhere. As we found the one that I think it was Hans Jensen, was one of the first ones we saw. Yeah. You know, they tried to shroud it, right? So they created this new account, and then they tried to go to a bunch of places and have them push for this upgrade to one, what was it? .6.1, I think was, or .6.0 and .6.1.
Yeah.
And but then they would try to shroud it with the commit history by going and taking old commits of other projects and then just randomly updating them. And I think we spent like that entire last weekend going through, I don't even know, probably like 50 commits, because each of these commits had, you know, a good 2,000 to some of them had like 15,000 lines of code. And yeah, and in all of those cases, it's like they tried to not do anything in these, you know, and just try to build up that credibility
right.
In other places.
Yeah, like those commit sizes are always like, you know, I always feel bad when I see commits that large, because it's just like, no one's actually going to read all that. Like, let's be honest, no one's going to go line from line for any of that. Like, you might see a principal dev or something dig in a little bit, but they're mostly just going to be like, do a 15 second scroll up and down real quick and be like, looks good to me.
Right. And maybe run some kind of analysis tool if you're lucky.
And think about that too. You know, one of the reasons it was even caught was due to Valgrind and a bunch of Valgrind failures. And they actually had three or four devs, which I don't think that they were complicit. I think it was just that they were able to convince them that these Valgrind issues were an issue with Valgrind. And I saw that like they were trying to get these pushed through other good developers, you know, saying, hey, it's okay, you know, we're seeing this same thing and this seems to be a bug and whatever. Yeah, this is a whole very interesting affair.
Yeah.
Not to mention too, you know, they also became contributors of OSS fuzz to try and disable, I think it was like iFunk to prevent OSS fuzz from picking up on it.
Yep.
That was crazy.
Oh, and the meme commit where they removed all the information and security of the they were like, hey, you know, privately let us know and it'll take like 90 days or something, and it was just trying to maximize their you know, time on the market.
Yeah,
I think they hit what, 30? Yeah. I think they hit 34 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, their patience was incredible for sure.
Yeah.
Up until that last bit though, like I said, they I think that's where they failed. If they didn't have so many people, like if they didn't take a bunch of these accounts that were either, you know, stolen or paid for, which had like zero commit history in a long time, but that had commit history, so they were trying to use it as social credit, or just creating one of these fake accounts, I think that this would have lasted a lot longer.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe maybe they could have continued trying to make little arguments against some of these things, like with Valgrinder. For the, I saw one of the mailing lists right off the bat where you know, they reverse engineered some of the shell code, and they might have been able to keep it down, because I think GitHub, right? GitHub brought it down, and Salsa mm-hmm. brought it down because of all of these other fake accounts. So that's what I wonder, like, if this was just a very siloed event, would they have brought all of this down, and would their remotes have brought down the, you know, the affected tarballs?
Yeah, I mean, I assume so, because it's just the abuse potential, and right, like,
yeah,
I assume GitHub doesn't want to be associated with it at all, right? Like, they try to do a good job of cleaning up.
Oh, yeah.
Nefarious stuff, right? But, like, I mean, there's plenty of tools hosted out there, like PowerShell Empire and stuff, right? Mimikatz and the like, where
yeah.
it's like,
yeah. Oh, it's just research.
Educational purposes.
Right,
only,
yeah.
Quote yeah. unquote. And yeah. it's like in everybody's exploit kit ever on anything, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, I just more meant, like, would GitHub have pulled this down if it weren't for all the obvious fake accounts trying to push it, right? Like, if this right. were such a minimal, like, if they would have went the route of trying to keep slow rolling it and just made a minimal fuss throughout all of it, how long could they have kept this going?
Very true. I also find it interesting that it ended up in you know, homebrew on Mac, right?
Yeah,
like, it obviously Mac's not impacted because of that, those checks in the very beginning, but that's how homebrew works, right? It pulls down the code, it does a configure, and it does a make. Like, it builds it from the tarball. And when I first saw this, I'm like, oh god, this is gonna be a nightmare scenario. But luckily, you know, the maintainers of brew quickly reverted back to, you know, 5.4.5 or whatever the version was. But still, it was like all those commits came from the same person, and they are malicious. I didn't check on what they were doing now about it, because I know they tore down the repo, and it's probably still hosted on SourceForge or something, right? Because homebrew pulls from, like, GitHub, SourceForge, random thing that people submit to, you know?
Bitbucket.
Yeah. All those fun things.
Gitia or Git.
Yeah. All those random Gitty.
Yeah.
I just really, though, I admire the intuition that the Microsoft employee had, and the curiosity, you know, that led them to ultimately reporting the backdoor and pretty much saving the world from it.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, why'd this thing take extra milliseconds?
Right.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I do appreciate that, because it's, you know, it takes people like that to counter, you know.
For real, they could have. He could have just wrote it off, you know. It's like, oh, it's just running slow, whatever. But they really dug deep,
you know.
Yeah, and it was over what, 3 failures that were, and he couldn't replicate them, right? So, right, he couldn't replicate them easily. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of people who just gave up.
Yeah,
it's kind of a bug.
That persistence, you know, is it's an important skill. You know, just digging in, and I got to figure this out, you know. I can't sleep until I know why 500 milliseconds is, my test is slower by 500 milliseconds. Like, I appreciate that.
And then reporting it, you know.
Yeah. Like, I found this weirdness in this package. Maybe I should say something to somebody, right? You know, because I'm sure he's like, oh man, if I, all these security people are going to, you know, they might tell me I've lost my mind or something.
Right.
You know, it takes a lot of courage to kind of report that stuff, especially on, like, OpenWall and, you know, those kind of old school distros, right?
It's definitely very well. So, learning point for everyone on YouTube, if you see something funky, deep dive.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Any last thoughts, anyone, before we kind of wrap this up?
We could put our conspiracy hats on and think about where the actor came from, right, based on their commit history.
We can save those for our 3 a.m. conspiracy podcast, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
Going over shortwave radio.
That's right. Tom and I are going to be we're going to kick off the new Coast to Coast.
I was going to say, Coast AM, baby. Let's do it.
Heck yeah, dude.
Be Bon Devant AM.
Bon Devant. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, there we go. We get this deep dive at 3 a.m. and talk about like state actors and.
No, nobody steal that. That's not copyrighted.
Yes, it is.
Might already exist. I don't know.
It probably does. Yeah.
So how long until the next XZ incident?
I give it a week. Well, because they still those active investigations right now, right? There's it's spidered out into, I think, 9 other repos? Something like that?
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of evidence for most of them, but I think there's 2 or 3 in particular that either Jatan had contributed to, and it looked like they were like I said, with LibArchive and the control sequence stuff. And then there was another one that looks like it was the same sort of thing with a different user, you know, maybe a different user, who knows.
Yeah.
So I'm sure this is probably just scratching the surface of probably a lot of other, because there's no way they put all their eggs in one basket, right? Like whoever this was.
Absolutely not.
So
agreed. Well, thanks everyone for joining on this wonderful Tuesday. Hopefully you didn't burn your retinas with knockoff eclipse glasses. And I wish everyone a happy Tuesday.